Welcome to the Path to Profit podcast with your hosts, Dr. Manette Riordan and Brad Dobson.
Hi, and welcome again to the Path to Profit podcast. This is take three.
I think maybe it's take four.
For this episode between the cat brought a lizard in. I had a brain fart. I'm not sure where we're going with the other take. Anyways, welcome. This is our last episode for Productivity Month. And today we're going to talk about creative entrepreneurs' three biggest productivity challenges. I'm Brad Dobson. This is my wife, Dr. Manette Riordan. Welcome again.
Welcome. Are we here this time?
I think so.
It's a Friday afternoon in Santa Barbara as we're recording this, and it's really quite a lovely day. And I think maybe we have a little Friday end of the week, brain fuzzy going on.
I'm wondering whether Fridays is not the right day to record.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know if we've ever recorded one on a Friday before.
Anyways, we've got a good show for you this time.
And the reason we're recording on a Friday is because we didn't manage our time really well this week.
That's true.
Because when we talk about productivity on the Path to Profit podcast, it's usually pretty personal.
Yeah.
We're speaking to ourselves as much as we're speaking to all of you.
It's self-coaching in a lot of cases.
It is totally self-coaching. And we planned the topic a long time ago. We've kind of been playing and toying with these ideas and doing some research. And we think we've come up with three of the biggest productivity challenges that we know that we struggle with and that we hear from our clients. And we're hoping that they'll resonate with you as well. And we find that productivity is one of the biggest reasons why creatives are not making a profit in their business. It's how they're using their time.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Including us.
And you chose a great quote to go with this.
I did, didn't I?
Jonathan Fields.
Aren't I smart?
If I hold it far enough away, I can see it.
Where's your glasses?
There is often a huge chasm between being busy and being productive.
There is. There is a huge chasm. And it's been really interesting in some of the mompreneur circles and bloggers and places where I spend a lot of my time on social media hanging out, there's this whole feeling that there is a cult of being busy, that it's become trendy and popular to be perceived as busy, because if we're busy, then we're filling our time with something useful and meaningful. But what we've discovered with ourselves and our clients is being busy and being productive are actually not the same thing at all.
Oh yeah, they're a long way apart. these days, we're not peasants where, you know, the only thing that you had to do was stuff on the farm or things like that. It's so easy to fill your time in today's world with media consumption.
I mean, if you do own a farm, it's easy to fill your in-between times.
Exactly. And the net result is filling your time with looking at your phone and reading all of the latest notifications and things like that is you lose the spaces in between, which is coming from this article that Manette has found about the creative's kryptonite.
Yeah, it was a great article by Jonathan Fields. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. And it was called Creative Kryptonite and the Death of Productivity. And he talks about two specific areas where hyperconnectivity and hyperactivity are actually the creative's kryptonite. And it comes often from what he calls filling the spaces in between. Mm-hmm. So every time you pause for a moment at a stoplight, or you're standing in line at Starbucks or the grocery store, you're checking your phone. Or when you go to the bathroom, you're checking the phone. Or when you first wake up in the morning, when you're really creative and your thoughts are really open, you're grabbing your phone, and we're actually interrupting our own creative flow and the ability for our ideas to take seed and to germinate and burst into full bloom. And oftentimes our best ideas come and our best solutions to problems come when we're not paying attention and not being busy, when we're going for a walk, when we're taking a shower, when we're making art or doing something completely different, writing in your journal, going for a way too long bike ride like Brad tends to do in his Ironman training. But this sense of hyperactivity as the thing that's actually killing creativity is really sitting with me.
Yeah, and it's more than you mentioned two things there. One is interrupting flow, and obviously, you know, distractions do that, and that hurts us badly. But it's actually stealing away our opportunities for our brain to generate those great ideas. I found this personally. I'm a big podcast listener, as you probably are as well. And I spend a lot of time out on the bike or out running, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And what I found was that I was actually listening to too many and filling those times, or I ended up not taking my headphones for quite a number of rides just to get more spaciousness, because otherwise, you know, my brain didn't have a chance to basically daydream. And I think, you know, you can call it whatever you want. That daydreaming is actually super important time for creatives. It's where the literally the creative ideas come from. It's your best stuff. And if you're filling your time and all those spaces in between with other things, you know, forcing other media down your throat, you're giving away that creative time.
Oh, I don't think we're forcing it down our throat. I think we're greedily gobbling it up and imbibing and
definitely. And I brought this up in one of our other takes of this episode. I brought this up. Our media and the notifications on our phones and stuff is it's designed a lot like potato chips are. They're designed to invoke base level limbic responses to things. Not high brain type of things. You're actually in trouble with your phone because it's
designed to be addictive.
That's right.
It's designed to get you to click and to read and to gaze at all the pretty pictures. I was having a conversation with one of our clients who was saying, she's like, oh man, I really struggled this week. I had a total fallback. And I'm thinking, what, you know, fell off her diet, started drinking. I don't know what she's going to say. She's like, I put Candy Crush back on my phone. And I started laughing because I can completely relate with how addictive Candy Crush is.
That's a great example. And I saw a fantastic thing. It might've been on Lifehacker about one way to help yourself with your phone and screen addiction was to put your phone on grayscale mode. And I did this for a little bit. There's instructions out there on how to do that for Android and iOS. And you realize very quickly, and Candy Crush would be a great example, of how much the color input is basically making you drool, right?
We kind of got a lot of color input going on around here.
It's too. A Pavlovian response.
Will that make you watch our YouTube videos more? If we just keep feeding you more color, if you're watching this on YouTube,
need little flashing LEDs.
Oh, little flashing LEDs or little Pac-Man going across the screen. Right. So
hyperactivity
is one of the biggest challenges. The solution to hyperactivity is just pausing, and I think you can pause using technology to your advantage or setting up some rules for yourself. Brad recently wrote a great blog post on how he's using mini focus blocks to stay on track, and just 10 to 30 minutes at a time of committing to sitting at his desk and working on a particular task or a particular project, not with any intention to complete it, but just to make progress on it. And I think that's a great solution, having timers on your phone and alerts on your phone that remind you to stop, to start, to take a breath, to stand up, to move, to dance maybe. I have one that pops up in the morning that says, how are your thoughts today? And it's a mindful pause to just have me check in and go, am I starting this day from a positive place and a positive mindset? Or am I feeling scattered and overwhelmed or negative and judgy? Just paying attention to those thoughts can help us pause some of that hyperactivity. But another solution to hyperactivity and to constantly filling in those spaces is one of the challenges and solutions that we see for our creatives all wrapped up in one like tangled hairball of yarn. And that's lack of planning. And one of the things that we see happen so often, in fact, I was on a call with five women this morning on one of my pop-up coaching sessions. Mm-hmm. And one of them was saying, I'm just not getting enough done. And another one is saying, I don't know what to do. And the truth is they're not pausing and taking the time to figure out exactly what are the important, most important next steps to take in their business. And I realized that Brad and I got a little scattered this week because over the last 2 weeks, we got busy, we had clients in town, we had a couple of live events we were hosting, and we failed to do our weekly 1 hour planning where we sit down and iron out step by step, detail by detail, exactly what it is that we want to get accomplished that week. And so by the time a Monday morning rolled around, we're both going, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be working on.
That's right. Our best work comes from having the spaciousness to have those planning sessions.
Yeah.
It's just critical. Otherwise, you're just in reactive mode all the time.
And we hear over and over and over again from clients, from people that respond to the podcast, from our different social media channels, that the number one thing that creatives are longing for is clarity. And one of the two or three number one challenges they're facing is overwhelm. And overwhelm always flows from lack of clarity, and lack of clarity flows from lack of planning. And that all starts with a big plan, a year-long plan, a 2 or 3 year-long vision, all the way down to a quarterly plan, to a monthly plan, to a daily plan. And your eyes may be rolling back in your head going, I don't have time to do all that planning. But I think it was Brian Tracy that said, 10 minutes of planning a day will save you 2 hours of work. 10 minutes of planning will save you 2 hours of work.
Yeah. A stitch in time saves nine, right?
A stitch in time saves nine. That's another great one. I hadn't thought about that one in a long time.
It's good for our makers out there.
It is. And I think one of the things I had to learn about having a business partner was how to be in co-creation in that way from a planning perspective, and making sure that our plans were alive, that the structures and systems are in place to support the plan, so that we both have space for both creativity and we both have space and structure for keeping things going, right? Because an online digital marketing business is like a perpetual machine.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're out there and you're working with a team, you're working with your partner, whoever that may be, and you're a creative and you're not taking the time to plan and you just want to have everything loosey-goosey, you're being really tough on your partner. You need to step up and admit that. You need to make a change.
Brad wrote a whole chapter in my book. I wrote a book a couple of years ago called The Artful Marketer, A Fundamental Guide for Creative Entrepreneurs or something like that. So it has a long subtitle, but it's called The Artful Marketer. It's available on Amazon. I'll give a little plug for that. It's a great book. It's everything that we teach and talk about on this podcast in a book format if you love to read books. But Brad wrote the last chapter in the book about trying to survive working with a creative, and it was even before we started working together.
That's right.
We need to maybe update it now that we've been working together for 2 full years.
Yeah, a little bit of cat herding, I think.
There is maybe a lot of cat herding, but what I have learned from his systems genius is that concept of creative constraint. And I love talking about the concept of creative constraint. It's something they teach in art school. It's one of the design principles, that you actually are more creative when you have constraints in place.
But I'm a creative and I don't want all that structure. Ew.
But when somebody comes to you and says, I need you to build X, mm-hmm. and they haven't given you any direction, any tools, any colors, any rules or ideas.
And you get a rocket plane with feathers and flags and,
well, it was like in the Lego movie, the couch.
Yeah, right.
Right? Where he kept wanting to build a couch and they're like, we don't need a couch.
Perfect example.
It was a perfect example. There was no use for the couch. He just wanted to create this double decker couch. If you haven't seen the
spaceship.
Yes, the first Lego movie. It was awesome. But this idea of creative constraints is that when you commit to getting a project done in a certain amount of time or a small portion of a project, it's like a creative constraint where you only have one browser window open and you already have some ideas for the content and the direction that you're going, depending on what it is that you're creating. But when you try to create in a vacuum, it's completely overwhelming and can instantly have that inner critic just totally becoming that fire-breathing dragon, which is what I talked about in my blog post recently. But it all of a sudden actually stops your creativity. Mm-hmm. So by giving yourself some structure, and writers, famous writers are the ones who I think talk about this more than any other creative community, and it's showing up to write every single day. When it comes to building your business, you have to show up to build your business every single day.
Storyboarding is a good example for writers as well, right? Mm-hmm. There's a structure to it. I mean, we have, if you're looking on YouTube, we've got pre-show planning notes for this. We're both pretty creative people. But we found that winging it just doesn't...
We tried. You probably listened to a couple of those episodes and wondered what the heck we were talking about.
It just doesn't all come together as well, as opposed to having basically a storyboard that we can that we can run against. So that would be, you know, the number three major item.
Challenge
for creatives is overcoming your need to
go with the flow,
have everything just spontaneously happen. It's like the thing about scheduling sex, right? This came up again in the Gretchen Rubin's book.
Better than before.
Better than before.
Yeah, great book.
You know, it's just one of those things that you can still be quite creative, but you needed to have a little bit of structure to make it happen.
Yeah. And it builds anticipation too. So for sex and creativity, right? So the thing is if I know that on Tuesday afternoon, I'm going to be writing a blog post about productivity, for example, then I'm thinking about it for days and days ahead of time. I'm probably dreaming about it and not
unless
even
you're
aware
on your phone
about
constantly.
It. Unless I'm on my phone constantly. But even if I'm on my phone constantly, I'm usually surfing ideas and topics and looking for... doing research. So all of these things are happening so that by the time I show up to my keyboard to actually write the blog post and I have that constraint in place, it flows more easily.
Right.
So I think what we're super passionate about is that it's systems and flow combined that create productive brilliance. Mm-hmm. It's not systems versus flow. They're not opposite principles, that the two of them actually work in concert together.
It's a whole yin-yang thing.
It is a whole yin-yang thing. Yeah, and I think we're going to be diving even more deeply into this topic. And we also, hilariously, he's systems, I'm flow.
Yeah.
Right?
Funny
There's no doubt about that, that we pull these abilities together. But we find that we influence each other in healthy ways. Mm-hmm. I get him to be more creative and flowy. He definitely gets me to be, well, he tries to herd me.
That's right.
And get me to be more creative. It doesn't help when Phoebe brings lizards in. That's 2 days in a row. Yesterday, I was in the middle of delivering a live lecture on Zoom, and she brought a lizard in, like right under my feet. It was entertaining.
Life's like that, though, isn't it?
Life is like that. And so just to kind of recap quickly, because we could go on and on, I think, about this topic, but hyperactivity is one of the biggest challenges we see creatives struggling with, filling your calendar and your time, not just with too many activities, but the wrong activities. And you're filling your time with busy work because maybe you're overwhelmed or you're not clear exactly what the right activities are that you should be focusing on in order to build your business, mm-hmm. which leads to the second business biggest challenge, which is lack of planning.
Yeah, overwhelm and chaos because
overwhelm
you haven't
and
planned
chaos.
Anything.
I know, and I notice it now so much more than ever before where I'll get to my computer on a Monday morning and go, wait, I don't know what direction I'm supposed to be going or what I'm supposed to be doing. And all I need is 10 minutes to look at my notes, to look at our editorial calendar, which we talked about this month, and to look at our paper calendar as well. And I'm like, oh yeah, we have a wall calendar. I'm pointing at it. You can't see me pointing at it, but I'm pointing at it. We have a giant wall calendar with kind of our big rocks we're working on. We have a desk calendar where we do all of our content planning. Mm-hmm. Then it all goes into a digital editorial calendar.
Lots of stuff.
And then into our personal to-do list. So this is a process, but once you understand the process, it actually doesn't take a significant amount of time.
That's right.
And then the third challenge was belief that implementing structure impedes creative flow. Mm-hmm. And to help them manage all that, we have an awesome free gift for everybody.
The Artful Profit Planner. And it's killer. It is a system.
It is. And it's I created a system.
And it's flow and art at the same time. It's really cool. I strongly encourage you to look at the link in the episode notes, download it, and print it out, and get yourself underway with a little bit more structure, a little bit more day-to-day spaciousness, and some profit tracking, which is killer.
Yep.
And coloring.
Yes, and lots of coloring. If you've been following our show at all for a while, you know by now I'm totally addicted to mandalas and to making art in all forms, but particularly to mandalas. And my son actually designed the mandala, our son designed the mandalas that are in the Artful Profit Planner. And if you're driving and listening, artfulprofitplanner.com, artfulprofitplanner.com, totally free. Free resource for you guys. I made a fun video that teaches you how to use it, but it is a simple step-by-step system for getting shit done.
Nice. And next month it is, March is marketing month.
Woo-hoo!
All sorts of M's. And episode 87, Manette got the title for this one. I'm not sure where she's coming from. What is the title, Manette?
Are you trying to feed hamburgers to a crowd of vegetarians?
Ooh, I think we'll leave you with that one. Think about that one.
All right. We'll see you on the next episode.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening.